This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we are the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. And as regular listeners know, I interviewed several months ago Hal Lindsey. And I normally do not ask guests to come back as quickly as I did with Hal. But I recently got a hold of his video, Evidence of the End Time. And he has put together the last day scenario in such an articulate fashion, putting things together that very few people have seen it all. They've seen little bits and pieces, but the whole thing put together. Hal Lindsey, tell me why you did this particular teaching video.
Well, I just felt that things are coming together in such a rapid fashion. Things that I've seen, the exact scenario that I've seen in prophecy for over 40 years, that it was time to really put these things together all in one place and to try to show people that though we don't know the day or the hour, which means the exact time, we are commanded to know the generation or the general time. And I really believe we're in it and rapidly moving toward the events that will lead to the second coming of Christ.
Now, you talk a lot about Daniel and what he had to say in Daniel 12 about what would happen understanding the Bible. Would you explain that?
Yes, Daniel probably received more volume of prophecy than any other single man in the Bible. And toward the end of life, when he had received what was to be the last installment God gave him, he was confounded. He appealed to God to show him the meaning of all of the things he had been revealed to, that had been revealed to him. And God told him to go his way. And in verse 9, he said, in verse 8, let's say, Daniel said, as for me, I heard, but I could not understand. So I said, my Lord, what will be the outcome of these events? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. Many will be purged and purified and refined, but the wicked will not understand. But those who have insight will understand, because I believe he's talking about the believer with a gift and the Holy Spirit showing him. He uses a Hebrew verb, concealed and sealed up, that really would mean today encrypt or to encode these things until the end time. You know, I studied that, and I remember I was writing a kind of a commentary on the book of Revelation that I called There's a New World Coming. And I begged God, I said, Lord, there are many symbols in the book of Revelation that are not explained anywhere else in the Bible, as some of them are. And I said, help me to understand these things. And so, as I was mulling this over, the words of Daniel came to me, and I realized that there were some things in the book of Revelation that would not be understood until the time they began to unravel. And then the Holy Spirit caused me to think of the times that the Apostle John said over and over and over, I looked and I saw and I heard. In fact, I saw that at the beginning of every new revelation that John got in the book of Revelation, he used the Greek words, I looked, I saw, and I heard, that indicated he was an eyewitness of of what he was about to reveal. In fact, Jesus commanded him in the first chapter, write only what you saw and heard. So how could a first century man be a witness to events that haven't happened yet? And then I realized God must have time traveled him up to the end time and let him actually see the horrific events, particularly those that had to do with global war, and had him witness that. So how could a first century man describe something in, let's say, the 21st century and all of its marvels of science and technology? How could he explain an intercontinental ballistic missile? How could he describe a nuclear explosion? How could he describe the modern things we have in warfare? He would have to say, I looked and I saw, and it looked like, and use a vocabulary of the first century to try to describe what's going on today. And I believe that's exactly what's happening today. In fact, this is going on with many of the prophets. The symbols they used, the way they sought to describe them, were in terms of phenomena with which they were familiar in their times.
You know, you made a statement to me before we went on the air. You said, Sid, I do my live show on television on a one-day delayed basis, and that's a problem because one day things are happening so rapidly, it creates a problem for me.
Isn't that amazing? But that's what's happening. Things are happening so fast.
So listen, are you going to be alive in these last time events that you talk about in your video?
Well, if I have my life expectancy, my father died when he was 95, and I'm now 74. And if I live my normal projected life expectancy, I certainly believe I'll be alive when all of this comes to be fulfilled.
I mean, after devoting, and I'm reminded from the last time I interviewed you, as a young child, you were on your aunt's knee, so to speak, and rather than watching cartoons to kind of keep you busy, she did something very unique. She read the book of Revelation to you, but I believe that she was planting seed inside of you for such a time as this.
I know that all of my relatives could not understand why she did this. She must have read the book of Revelation to me over and over, maybe 50, 60 times. And my mother said that even though I was extremely young, I would sit there with rapt attention. And of course, I didn't become a believer until I was 25 years old, so I believe she did plant seeds that never were taken away.
Well, I was a little slower than you. I didn't become a believer until I was 30 years old. But, you know, as you're saying that, I'm reminded in the book of Revelations, it talks about blessed is he who, what does it say, hears these words?
Mm-hmm.
So you were being blessed at such a young age.
Yeah, I didn't know it.
Well,
my parents.
You know, the thing that amazes me, Hal, is not how we see things today. The thing that amazes me is before Israel was a modern-day nation, saints of old would read the scriptures and they would say, I know that Israel will be restored and the Jews will return there. You know, it's easy to say that today when we read it, but there were people that had insight and read those scriptures and believed that God was going to do it literally, even though it looked impossible.
Yes, there were. And beginning at the end of the 1700s, there was a revival of actually taking prophecy literally. And that's when the understanding of prophecy really began. But, you know, it wasn't until I did a video called The Late Great 20th Century, in which I showed that really it was the 20th century where prophecy came into its own, where for the first time really great scholars began to study prophecy and take it literally and see it actually unfolding. But the real key was when Israel became a nation again. That's when everything started to to rumble and put together.
It's almost like the time clock started really going fast the moment Israel became a nation.
A fast track started with their becoming a nation. It really did.
Out of curiosity, there seems to be a lot of confusion on this issue, but based on your study of Scripture, who is a Jew?
I believe it's a term that's kind of generally thrown around today, but I believe as the Bible understands it, it is the true descendants physically of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I would say that a Jew really embraces all the descendants of the 12 tribes.
Based on my understanding of Scripture, for sure. And Israel being a modern-day nation and the connection between the USA and Israel, how important is that for the USA?
You know, I think personally that one of the reasons we've survived some awful mistakes in foreign policy and we've been preserved in a miraculous way is because we have been a haven for the Jew. We've been a place where they could be protected. And I think that plus the fact that we're a missionary base for the world is probably the only reason we still survive.
And in your opinion, will the United States continue to be a friend of Israel? Will the United States continue to be a safe haven for Jews?
Well, there's something very disturbing to me that I saw early in my study of prophecy. And that is, as you study the spheres of political power that will exist just shortly before the return of Christ, the leader of the West is not the United States or any power like that. The leader of the West will five form of the old Roman Empire. And so I believe that is something that's somehow the United States is going to have to fall.
Well, you know, my spin on that, Hal, is that we've violated every commandment that God has, and then maybe a few extra, and the only hair that's holding the blessings of God is our connection with Israel.
I really believe that. I think that if we turn our back on Israel, and there are indications that this is taking place, if we turn our back on Israel, this thing of in the name of being even-handed to forget justice, I believe the United States will fall.
I'm sorry, we're out of time. Mishbucha, you've never seen it put together so brilliantly. Hal has been called by God to do it. This special 100-minute video, Evidence of the End Time, it's available for a donation of $30 or more. It's essential understanding for the last days. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishbucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.